You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, good morning and welcome back to the program, family. Now, we continue speaking about evangelism in our mid-morning chat, and I decided to entitle this segment, Your Life as an Evangelism Tool. So we're talking about how your own experiences, your own life, your own testimony can be used as an evangelism tool. A lot of people think that they have no role in evangelism because they don't have a theology degree or because they're not a prolific preacher or writer or, you know, a singer that's going to get standing ovations. But there is a way that you can still be involved in evangelism by sharing your own story. But I know that that in itself is not very easy, right? So that personal evangelism, that privilege of entering into the spiritual journey of another person and discovering how God works, it's such a beautiful thing and it's such an encouraging thing. But for the person who is sharing, there's so many obstacles that you have to overcome. So I thought that we could get a little bit into that and figure out how to get over some of those hurdles and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable about our own struggles when it comes to evangelism. And there's no one else, there's no one better to help us understand this as than this person who has shared his own struggles with us here on AWR as well as with the world on different platforms. And that is Tondirai Maphosa. Toto, good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Bongile.
Thanks so much for joining us once again. We spoke to you, it was over a year ago. You shared your part of your story with us here, but you have been quite open and public about your own testimony and what God has brought you through. For those who might have missed that, maybe let's start with just a quick brief rundown of your experience.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I relish any opportunity to be able to speak about what I went through, just in case someone else is going through the same thing, that they may know that there's a lot of hope at the end of whatever they're going through. So, I'll give you a little recap of my story. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, Toto is from Tondirai Maphosa. I was born, raised, and bred in our Adventist Church. Mm. I attended Cranbourne Church, then went to Solusi. Yeah, Solusi Primary School is the institution.
Yeah.
Moved to Anderson Primary School, then Anderson High School, went to Nyazura, and then back to Solusi University. So I think you can see a very strong Adventist upbringing in that.
Yep.
Right. But while I was at Solusi, I fell through the gaps and got into drug addiction.
Mm.
I started off with alcohol, and then the alcohol called in the cigarettes called the marijuana, the codeine, diazepam tablets, cat, and crystal meth. At the height of my addictions, Bongi, I was addicted to seven substances.
Sure.
It was just nasty. It was nasty. Because of my addictions, I developed habits to feed these addictions. You know, I call them addictions like this, but more I like to call them demons because what John 10, verse 10 will say is the enemy comes in to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Mm.
And that will be characteristic of these substances. That is, as I look at my life, at the damage I took from these things, they fit in to the John 10:10 description.
Yeah.
So I then developed habits of theft. While I was at Solusi, I broke into the computer lab, wiped out of the computers that were in there.
Sure.
I went to jail. I didn't get out of the addiction because of that. I got expelled from Solusi, sent to Harare, where my parents had a house. But the addiction didn't leave me, even after my expulsion from Solusi, even after my incarceration. It was still with me. At one point, I think you'll remember Papa. We called him Papa.
Yes.
That's Professor Norman Maphosa. While I was staying at his house in Cranbourne, He discovered 13 plants of marijuana in my bedroom.
Sure.
You see how
in his house.
How this addiction has become a slave master. I'm a slave to this. I'm doing anything and everything to just get high. So that's still after being chased from Solusi then to Cranbourne home. Papa sent me away from there to Highfields, where I continued my drug behavior. I continued my stealing. I was stealing from Papa. I believe I was a chief of sinners, Wongi. I believe I was a chief of sinners. So afterwards, I came to. There's a point where I'd had, I think, too much drugs. I had served my time in the drug society, and I believe I had a Damascus experience where I just stopped. Where I just stopped, and miraculously, graciously, God took me out of the addiction. And I just want to give the story in brief. I think that's because of the upbringing that we had. The Pathfinder Club, the Pathfinder Law kept singing to me. My AY Legion of Honor kept speaking to me while I was in my addiction. And then at one point, the penny dropped, and I quit the drugs. So in brief, Bongi, that is my journey. But this was not before an all-night prayer by my sister Shami and Thelma. You know, they just really prayed.
Yeah.
I was now at a point where I was going crazy. I thought I had prophetic powers.
Wow.
I thought I was... It had just gone crazy. I was going mad from door to door, telling people I was a ghost, telling people I was a spirit, telling them I had died. It was messed up. It was messed up. So that's the story in brief. But I want to highlight something, because if we leave the story there for people as they're listening, they just might not get where we want to shine a lot of light on, which is on Jesus Christ.
Right.
Having lost my degree, I re-enrolled with Solusi, and this year I'll be graduating from Solusi.
Amen. 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 That's beautiful.
So in brief, that is the story for me.
Wow, that's a lot. I mean, I was familiar with your story, but some of the details there and just trying to relive it, that's incredible what you're able to get through and what God has brought you through. But another thing that I find really incredible is, especially because of your background and your upbringing and your father being who he was in the Adventist community as well, or who he is in the Adventist community, that couldn't have been easy for you to, after having come out of it, to be able to be so open and to share what you've been through, to share how low you actually got, the depths to which you actually sank because of the drugs, knowing that you are the son of Professor Norman Maphosa, you are born and raised Adventist, and, you know, there's so much, one might say, so much expectation of you because of those things. So I would imagine that it would be difficult for someone in your position to be able to open up and share and to be so honest and vulnerable about, hey, this is how bad things actually got. This is how crazy things got. Did you ever have any fears about how your story would be received?
I believe that I went through what I went through because God has got plans that He has for me. I was convinced that my story was tied in to my purpose somehow. I believe that Tondelai Maphosa was put on this earth to speak about the ugly truth about drugs, and that we have got a higher power in Jesus Christ who can take us out of those drugs. If you take a look at my story, I want to look at the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Right? So, I am not ashamed of the gospel. If we, let's define the word gospel.
Yeah.
Right? Gospel is good news.
Yeah.
Right? So, in that story, I could hear a lot of jaws from you over there because the details are critical. They are crazy. And I didn't give you the details go as bad as my own daughter at one point calling me nothing but a stupid sperm donor.
Sure.
Right? But all this badness over here does not end bad because the ending of the story is about a man that is emancipated from the clutches of addiction and then telling to live that story to other people that they do not fall through the same gaps. That looks like good news to me.
Hey, hey, hey. Powerful.
Right. So once I ticked off that there was good news in the story, feeling bad about anything ceases to exist totally. You know, there's always people that are going to come and say, Toto, is he really repentant? There are people who, when they will get into a room, they are still really quick to check for the safety of their goods just to, Toto is around. Yeah. There's still people that are going to look at me with that eye. Sure. But it is the purpose. It is what I am doing, what I am doing for, that supersedes any embarrassment or any fear that I might have to tell the story. It is not about anyone, but about salvation and Jesus Christ. Hence, I am not ashamed.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So it's basically about choosing what to focus your attention on. Am I going to focus on those who have their doubts, whether it is rightfully or not, those who have their doubts and whatever judgments they might have of me? Do I focus on that, or do I focus on the fact that my story is still unfolding? And right now, my story right now is in a very good place. It is, like you said, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of what he has done for you and what he is still currently doing in your life. You get to decide what you focus on.
Right. That's exactly what it is. I get to focus on what it's also going to do for somebody else. It is the good news. I am not ashamed of the good news.
Beautiful.
Hence, everything else becomes secondary, if non-existent, actually.
I love that. I love that. There really is a huge fear that a lot of people have, myself included, I'd have to say, of being vulnerable about whatever the situation might be, whether it's something as hardcore as something that has landed you in jail, or whether it's something that maybe is just maybe an embarrassing part of your life, or whatever it is, we feel afraid to open up and say, this is what I've gone through. This is what Jesus has done for me. And this is where my life is now. Even though we know that on some level, this could be helpful to another person. In fact, this could even be part of the healing for me to share. It could be part of the victory for me to be able to stand up and say, this is what used to be. This is what my life used to be, but not anymore. Would you say that sharing your story has also empowered you even more?
It does. It does. It does, Wongi. It does. I like how you have just spoken about that. You have highlighted another key text in this ministry. What helps me to overcome? Mm-hmm. If we take a look at Revelations chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony." All right.
Yeah.
We are in a battle right now. The Bible says again, Ephesians 6, verse 12, we battle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Hey.
The word of testimony overcomes the dragon.
Sure.
So I must testify if I am to overcome.
Hey. Hey.
Right. So as I embraced these things, as I embraced these powerful scriptures, a certain peace, a certain courage came over me and just said, Tonderai, they are going to look at you. They are going to be suspicious about it. Look at Paul. After he converted, he would go back to some places and people would run out of the windows because they were like, hey, that guy is back again.
Of course.
But that did not stop Paul from doing what he had to do because it was his purpose as well.
Sure. Beautiful. I love that. And that's a really good comparison as well, a good example of Paul, the whole world knowing, or his whole world, the people in his circles knowing who he had been in the past, but he didn't cower away once he found out the truth and hide in shame.
Amen.
That's Amen. A really powerful point. That's a good one there. Now, what Amen. Would you say then to someone who maybe has a story or a testimony to share but feels shy to open up for whatever reason, or maybe feels that their story is not, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe it's like, no, there's, you know, we're used to these testimonies where God did this dramatic thing in someone's life, or someone quit drugs cold turkey just like that. You know, these kind of dramatic testimonies and miracles that people have experienced. Maybe mine is not so compelling. Maybe my story is low-key boring in my eyes. So can right. I still use my own testimony to share the love of God and to evangelize?
Hey, that is a powerful question. Thank you so much, Bongi. I heard this from my sister, Ruth Mahlanga. She mm-hmm. says, your testimony could be someone else's survival manual.
Sure.
No matter how small it is, no matter whatever it is, that testimony that you had could be the difference in someone's life. That is what evangelism is about, right? We do have those people that did really seemingly small things in the Bible. We have got, what was her name? Was it Rahab? Who just sheltered God's people for a short time. That's a seemingly small thing. Yeah. She hid people somewhere.
Yeah.
We cannot all be Davids. We cannot all be Moseses. We cannot all have, but those seemingly insignificant stories might just help somebody to get salvation, or to get out of an addiction, or to get out of a situation. God cares for that one person.
Yeah.
That may be struggling. So to whoever has got a testimony, you should not be shy to say what God has done for you. Because that in itself could help someone. When I started speaking about my testimony, I was amazed at how many people in the Adventist circle had the similar struggle.
Wow.
What actually might seem small to you is a big deal to somebody. There is nothing small when we're talking about issues related to salvation. Salvation is a big thing. And your small story could move mountains.
Amen. Now, would you say, when you look back, especially to when you first started to share, would you say, did you ever feel, did you wait until you felt strong enough? Let me see if I can word my question correctly. So having gone through this drug addiction for how many years was this?
For 15 years.
So after 15 years, that's a long time. Did you ever have a fear of relapsing? And did you feel like, let me first make sure I'm straight before I start talking about this publicly, lest I fall back into it?
When I got out of addiction, Bongi, a weight got lifted from me, which I could not ignore was not there anymore. I was so heavy in addiction. I don't even know if there's words for how I felt, but a weight was lifted from me. I remember the day we prayed with Shami and Sisi Juto. She's Thelma in South Africa. I cried so hard. I cried so much, but I felt free. When the Son of Man sets you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
So feeling that freedom, I knew that I was good. I knew that I was free indeed.
Sure.
So I did not have any fears of relapse, but this did not give me a license to put myself in places that may have triggered me again.
Okay.
That's a big important lesson I just want to put over there.
Yeah.
You may be free. You may be freed from anything that might be afflicting you.
Yeah.
But do not go back to those places or things that caused you to get into it. Just like that woman, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
So for me, I was free, but I was definitely not going to be going into the bars again with my Bible to say, now I'm free. Yeah. I'm going to be preaching in the bars because I'm totally away from it. But once I was free, I had no fear at all of relapse because I surrendered everything I was to God's custody.
So I love
and
that.
And for sure, he's been with me now, and there hasn't been any relapse since.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Any regrets, would you say? Would you have any regrets about sharing your story so far? Do you ever look back and think, maybe I gave too much detail there, or maybe I should have kept that to myself, or maybe this was not the right time to share? Do you have any regrets about sharing your story, your testimony?
Not at all. The only thing that I battle with now is the world ready to hear the stuff they've not heard yet about my story?
So we must prepare ourselves, but you're ready.
You need to prepare yourselves because this is 15 years of a lot of action. Some of the stories are unbelievable. I don't know if I'll ever tell those stories.
Wow.
But I have had no regrets because of the amount of people that I am seeing benefiting from this, the feedback that I'm getting.
Yeah.
I am sure and I'm certain that Christ is at work.
Amen.
So I have got no regret at all.
That is incredible.
If anything, like I just said, Sibongile, I am holding back and say, okay, is the world ready to hear this bit over here yet? And if so, it'll come. But I believe in my lifetime, we will hear a lot more about this story.
Yeah.
I just carry on praying that I prepare myself more to reveal more about what I went through so that someone else can get saved.
Sure. I love it. Toto, thank you so much for your time this morning. And really, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your openness and your willingness to be vulnerable about what you went through. And I really appreciate that God is using someone who is in a position, like I said earlier, the fact that you were raised Adventist, you were raised in the Adventist, in Adventist circles by Adventist parents in an Adventist school. And, you know, you've gone through all these things and to be able to share this couldn't, anyone else would have probably thought, oh no, this is going to bring a cloud over my family. I'm kind of embarrassed. Bazotini, you know, the usual. Maybe I'd rather keep this to myself and, you know, just come. They'll just see for themselves that my life is different. Those who know me will see for themselves. But you have put it out there. You have stood on a platform and shouted out from the rooftops what God has done for you, what he has brought you through. And I really appreciate you for doing that. Thank you so much. And I pray that God blesses your ministry as you keep going and that he prepares us for whatever else you have to share with us.
Wow. Thank you very much. Thank you too, Bongi, for the platform. I relish any opportunity I get to reach as many people as I can. I hope they see the power of Christ in this. I hope this message reaches that one person that's in an addiction that they feel they can't let go of, to just know that Christ and Christ alone can get you out of whatever situation that you're in.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Toto. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bonnie. Bye.
Family, I hope you're blessed by that conversation as much as I was. And I pray that whoever's listening out there and who's thinking you've got something to share, but you feel like this might be a bit too much, or you're feeling nervous about it. I'm not saying that you should be careless with your story or your information, but have faith that there's a reason why you've gone through what you've gone through. And have faith that God can turn your situation around and God can use your experience. God can use your story to reach someone else who's going through something similar. Don't worry about what people will say or what people will think. You can't avoid that anyway. They're going to think it either way, right? So if you're going to take your story and use it to glorify God, at the end of the day, what other people think or say about it, really, at the end of the day, is not going to hold much weight. It's not going to hold a whole lot of water, because lives will be changed. Lives will be impacted by your story, no matter how big, no matter how small. Each and every one of us has a role to play. And that personal evangelism is a very, very powerful tool in sharing the love of God by saying, this is me and this is what happened to me. You know, a lot of people have their own skepticism about the Bible, because for people, they feel it's unrelatable, right? But if I'm looking at you and I can see you, a living, breathing person, saying that you have experienced Jesus in your own life, you've gone through things in your own life, and you can testify from your own experience that Jesus saves, then that is so compelling, and there's so much power in that. And that can then lead me to the Bible, where I'll find even more gems. You understand how that works? So I hope that Toto's story and his courage in sharing his story will encourage anybody out there who also has something to share but is feeling like they have to hold back because of fear of judgment and things like that. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.